Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the podcast production company that's making the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts and a 6th event podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for listening.
I am Executroth, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. There are plenty of different designs available, so there is guaranteed to be something you love. To show your love of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B. D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. Redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today. All art supplied by the brilliant Decapitated Markers.
Welcome back to Dumb Scum and Villainy, a Dumb Dumbs and Dice podcast where professional voiceover artists and improvisers explore the underworld of this Star Wars Edge of the Empire role-playing game. I'm your host, Blotto the Toydarian. This series features our Game Master Tom McGee, Ryan LaPlante as Abraxas Brash Kor, Tyler Hewitt as Vic Denbar, and Adam McNamara as the forgetful psychopath Waka Waka Fonzi. During their space battle against the Flower Shuttles, Brash and Vic found synergy in the cockpit. Kano died tragically at the hands of a rogue Ugnaught, and Waka made his best kill yet while wearing the corpse of his friend. There, you're caught up. So get out of my shop or spend money. No credits, only money.
Amidst the asteroids and floating flowers, you are pulling your ship up to Comstar Pegasus. So you got really lucky. It doesn't seem as though any of the Black Sun gangsters on the ground have been made aware of your presence. The asteroids themselves provided pretty good cover for you. So having just recovered from your combat, you're now able to approach the asteroid. So basically, on the asteroid itself, there is a kind of a large oxygen blister that you can see sort of the entire comms array and some other facilities are under. So think of it as I mean, honestly, the easiest way visually for me is like in Destiny, there are a lot of places where it's like, oh, here's just a giant chunk of the moon that you can run around on.
So it's like the squirrel's house in SpongeBob SquarePants.
It is like the squirrel's house in SpongeBob SquarePants. Thank you, Ryan.
You tried to drop the Destiny reference and you went straight in with the sandy cheeks.
I mean, it's fair. The Traveler does live in a pineapple under the sea. Man, Destiny got weird in the new version. So that's kind of where you're at. You can see there are some ships sort of parked outside the oxygen blister, very much like the squirrel. It is like a glass dome. It's not like weird Gungan air tech. And there do seem to be kind of like specific ports to enter from. You can see there is sort of one. We're going to use just standard geographical directions for ease of thing. But remember, it's in 3D and you're in space. There's sort of a north entrance and a south entrance, you can see. And then there is a sort of large mining facility a bit to the northwest that is outside the bubble, but seems to kind of be its own facility. From where you're kind of with your long range scans and that sort of thing, you can see that there are a few ships kind of parked outside the bubble. Most of the ground activity seems to be inside the bubble itself.
So how many ships are parked outside?
There are two outside and there are four inside.
Do they look like the flower trucks we've been dealing with? Flowers by Irene?
Yep.
Have we got any messages from the hackers? I feel like, is there like a way we could try to talk to them? Like, have they hit us on a channel or something?
So I'm going to say that it's still very sporadic. One of the problems is you can tell. I'll say that you'd like Fonzie through your like helmet heads up display. You've received a bit more information from them. It seems that they are holed up in the mining facility. Mm. However, they don't indicate where. They just say like we entered through the mines. So there's somewhere kind of in and around.
So the mines, which are northwest,
yeah, a little bit northwest outside of the bubble. But they do caution that, again, there's a lot of foot traffic going on. Basically, the Black Sun has taken over the comm station. So
do we have the ability to ask them a question?
Go ahead and roll me a, I don't know, let's do a, like a computers. Yeah. Do like a computers check.
Okie dokie. I need two of those, Tyler.
So, yeah, we say two purple. You can upgrade. I'll give you two boost from the hackers. And, so, Ryan, you've got, do you have ranks?
I've only got intelligence, so I apply
great.
It.
All right.
That feels about right, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I can't be great at everything, even though I am.
All righty. I have... Oh, there's the picture. Okay, I have one success. That's all right. So I have a failure, but also two advantage.
So with the failure, I'm going to say that you can ask the question and you will likely get a partial answer.
All right, so if we just blow up this dome and kind of space all these assholes, are you guys going to survive?
You get a response back that seems optimistic, but not certain.
Oh, are we sure they're hackers and not a magic 8-ball?
I say we risk it.
I feel like, you know, they always say 8 out of 10 are pretty good odds. Are you a gambling man, Vic?
I feel like that's my only thing.
You know what I like about you? Consistent answers. Everybody ready? Strap yourselves in.
All right, I strap myself into, like, the gunner things.
Oh, good. I was gonna say, like, you need to go to the gun station.
So I got Kano strapped to me right now. So I unpluck the knives on me and I kind of put them back on magnets and I carefully fold Kano underneath my seat so he doesn't go anywhere.
Are you like breaking limbs to do
yeah,
it?
It's like, yeah. So he's safely stowed, so he's not flying anywhere. And then I strap myself in and I like reconnect myself to the battle computer.
So we'll gear up for like a speed pass where we're going to come in fast.
I think, Waka Waka, you probably know a little bit more about weapons stuff. These things are like, particularly because it's built on the side of an asteroid, the odds of being able to just shoot your way through this thing are low. Like you need pretty heavy ordnance, likely explosive. Now, taking it out from the inside is a different story. But these things are purpose built to survive the rigors. It's not like a you know, fragile glass dome.
But would it survive a ship running into it?
Likely.
It would survive.
I mean, given that it's on an asteroid, like in an asteroid field, they had to build.
Like the glass would secure,
stuff, yeah.
Stuff
would
it survive with it all the time?
Would it survive two flower ships running into it?
I mean, look, it's your world. You do what you want.
Okay, so what if?
Just a second. Okay, everybody, get out of your seats.
We undo. Maybe we'll go meet in like the kitchen.
Well, okay, now looking at our gear here, we got some heavy duty stuff, but it's not going to be able to blast through this dome. I say we get those pretty big flower trucks. Light them up and ram them full speed at the weakest point of the dome.
I don't think we would survive driving those ships, flying those ships into the dome.
We can hack them. We can hack them. And
do you know what? I think we could get incredibly literal here. We're not gifted hackers. That's not really our thing. But we could take our time. We could strap the ships together. We could tether them to this ship and make it a giant swinging ram. We go straight for the door. We peel off. Let him ram home.
What if? Oh, we could get the robots. We'll get the robots, and then they can eject at the last second, and we can pick them up.
I'm not emotionally attached to the robots, so suicide robots.
I think Sweep would be fine with that. See, he's fine with it.
Sweep looks like distinctively not okay with this.
He's good with it. Trust me. We've talked about this. He's hardcore.
Sweep's like, Sweep.
All right. Now we need new nibs. Is new nibs on board?
I think you mean dibs. Oh, first dibs. Of all. Dibs 2.
Dibs 2.
And I've lost one dibs already from your plans.
He has ascended to a higher level, and I pull out a little glass like vase from my neck, a necklace, and I have some of dibs ashes inside that I gathered. And I it's like he is right here. He's not gone. And I put it back in my shirt.
Well, why isn't that part of my character's arc? How come I don't have dibs ashes?
You were there when he ascended.
Okay, so I just leave and let this argument continue. Having realized that this plan will suicidally kill us all, I leave them arguing to quietly drive us to the other side and sneak us down to the mine.
All right, so yeah, I'm going to say you can kind of safely do that because you took out the other ships. There's no one really observing. Is your plan to like land on top of the mining facility and then enter, or are you going to do extra vehicular?
Do we have suits? I imagine we'd have something, but I don't
think,
know if that's true.
I think, Waka Waka is good because he's got kind of like pseudo Mandalorian armor. But I would say that the other, you likely have emergency suits, but not, it's not great. It's kind of like, basically think of them as airplane life vests. So if all the oxygen drained out, it could kind of keep you alive for a little bit, but it's not, you don't have like full EVA suits.
Then we probably need to land near an entrance, using as much cover as we could, but nobody's really watching, and we can leave the droids and just be like, man the guns, because we've also got Shatterstar,
yep,
who's around, so.
Right.
And then she shows up and she's like, hey, where's Kano?
Oh, he's holding my seat. Don't worry. He's okay.
All right, great. I just, you know, after dibs, it's a little scary working on board. And I mean, also our friend who's recovering. I mean, we've had some casualties, and you know, as a valued equal member of the crew, despite not being played by a different person on this show, I just, you know, as long as Kato's okay, that's great.
I just,
how's my bike?
I rub my forehead, and I'm like, this is a very unfortunate conversation to have to have.
He's dead, just like dibs. Waka Waka seems to have a distant relationship with mortality. It really starts to affect things over time.
We haven't seen the last of Kano.
In that case, I will get back to work on that bike because I'm scared now.
Actually, what we need you to do is stay in one of the cannons in case we get attacked by Black Sun. We've got to, like, go out for a bit and come back with more friends that are going to save all of our lives.
Well, I do like having my life saved. That is big priority for me. It's part of my character. It's my backstory. I like to survive. So sure, great.
Oh, could we yes, man the guns, but kind of do a 50-50 job? Can you also, like, kind of, you know, hour at the guns, hour fixing my bike?
Nope. Do you know what? I've heard there are a stack of fork guns inside this mine. I got a message from the hackers up at the front. They said, so many fork guns. And I said, can we get two? It's going to speed up so much work on this
bike. It was a fork gun mine.
Yeah. It had fork minium.
That makes sense to me. All right. Okay, so, Shatterstar, I'm going to go in, mine some fork guns, so you can attach more fork guns to my bike. But in the meantime, I'm going to need you to add more fire to it.
I'm sorry. Close the door with Shatterstar outside. So she's in the turret. And then I'm like, I'm very sorry to do this, but I do have control of the doors. And I just like lock her in. Just walk. We're going to find so many guns. Okay. Imagine, what if you found a fork knife?
That's like half a fork.
That is useless for both things I would want it for. Sold. Okay, cool. And so you kind of set down near the mining facility. The mining facility looks abandoned. It looks pretty worse for the wear. But it is a big building. In terms of how you can get from the ship to... you can probably use the EVA suits to, like, quickly sprint across, but it really is like a...
That's what I figured. Was just like, we just got to get in.
Yeah, it's kind of a shoot between two things, not like a...
Can we make sure we can get in there before we are in our suits and find out that we can't?
Here's the thing. We can get in if you're fast enough. Do you want to race?
I mean, I'll be fine. I'm the fastest. I'm worried about you because I'm a charismatic and caring leader.
Well, do you know what I'll say? Walker, you feel like you could pick me up if I fall down?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Walker's here till the end. Go!
Take off at the door.
So the door hisses open. Vic, are you actually going to try and race him, or are you going to let him have this so that he feels special?
I'll run a race and... And me just kind of, you know, having like a fun run will be much faster than anyone has ever seen.
Great. Okay. I was just thinking of Forrest Gump for some reason. I was like, I like it.
Is this zero gravity?
The gravity is very low.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Moonlight.
They would just like,
yeah.
They would just be running at the spot.
Just my legs pumping like crazy.
Vic, you start sprinting and yeah, because of the low grav, like your foot hits and you're just kind of arcing through the air with your little speedy legs.
Let's get a little audio of that. I'm just, all right, gang, let's go.
Brash, I feel like you're doing like a weird spider climb run thing along the ground. There's an elegant way of doing it, but you don't know how.
I'm not in this suit. Yeah. It's the outfit that's holding me back.
Totally. But it does mean you're actually making better pace than Vic.
Screaming Vic.
Yeah. Fonzie, because of your outfit, you can actually just enter this. How do you go across?
I kind of do like big jumps. Like how, like, you know how like the Hulk kind of jumps around?
The Hulk jumps.
I'm just like Hulk jumping to the entrance.
Okay, great. So the three of you make it there. Fonzie beats the two of you, but doesn't notice. the door panel is again, very old and kind of ill-used, but as you approach, it dings green. And you sort of hear a hiss, and the doors open into kind of the entry hallway for this mine. It seems that there was sort of a rare element worth mining inside the asteroid. And it's, I don't know if you've been in any of these buildings. There's an old soap factory that's abandoned in Toronto that they use for like a lot of film sets and that sort of thing. And it was wild, like walking through and seeing all the weird old posters that are just like, do a good job, soap. So it's that kind of shit where it's just like, remember, happy miners are productive miners, and it's all the weird like red faction shit you could expect to see from like a weird space mine. again, kind of disused. So the door hisses shut behind you. Honestly, like any weird corporate building you find in Fallout is kind of a good visual reference. So just everything, it looks like it was abandoned in a hurry. Everything's just kind of scattered around. As you enter the hallway, door hisses shut behind you, and some kind of sickly blue lights click on overhead that cast that kind of awful, overly bright, kind of fluorescent light. You don't see or hear anyone. It does. Yeah.
Do we have atmosphere detectors or whatever on our EVA suits?
Yeah. As soon as the door hisses shut, like the suits ding green for breathable air.
Great. I'll take my helmet off.
It smells so bad in here, though. It's that awful, like, musty kind of wet mold smell.
And I just take a deep breath and I close my eyes and I just tense my body and fart out a wave of pheromones, and then I tighten the neck so I'm just getting a little bit to keep me feeling good.
It's like breathing into your sleeve.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But I'm smelling my own armpits, and everyone likes their own brand.
I take my whole suit off. I take my helmet and my whole atmospheric suit, completely disrobe, and I'm wearing like adventure chic gear now.
So did you get this? Like, what is his improvised adventure chic from a ship we stole?
I found one silk shirt, and it was like a turtleneck, but I kind of ripped it down the middle, so it's like a deep, deep V to show off. You know, my.
Now, did you leave the turtleneck part though? So like, there's just literally
it's a high kind of flopsy neck, but it goes down into a deep V.
All right, so you did the raised neck and you ripped the shirt in the middle, so it's got like the cleavage window.
Yeah, I was gonna
from
say,
comic
it's the power.
Books.
It's the Power Girl cleavage window.
It breaks at the neck, but it's still loose turtleneck kind of wiggly wobbling around the back of my
silk
neck.
Silk is not known for maintaining structure.
Yeah.
Are you wearing anything else or just a silk shirt?
No, I'm
silk
shirt pants. I'm as you're scrooging shirt. It with my fucking candle. In my silk shirt at night.
Silk shirt, a gun, and no pants.
I've kept my pants from our previous heist.
Yes. Oh, your heisting trousers.
Yeah.
His day pants.
This is one of, they're my poker pants. Space poker pants.
They're
space
also
poker.
White, so yeah, you get a whole look.
Okay, great. So the three of you start kind of making your way into the facility. So again, just to kind of move us ahead on this facility. There isn't anything that exciting here in terms of looting and that sort of thing. You're certainly welcome to look around and you can roll to see if you can kind of like scare anything up. But it really does feel like an office that was quickly abandoned. That said, as you begin to explore, you realize it wasn't an emergency evacuation or anything. It was more of a take whatever's valuable and go. But we're getting off this rock, kind of situation. So, you know, filing cabinets and stuff are open. Most of the computer terminals are gone. You can see the space where they would have been. There's still like keyboards and things around, but the actual computers themselves aren't here.
All right. I am leading the group, in that way that like a child will walk in front of their parents, just kind of like the parents are still deciding where we go, but the kid thinks they're
driving the bus.
The kid is like, I need to maneuver in front of you so that I'm leading. And I'll periodically stop and hold up my fist. And then, like, wave forward, whether you guys stop or not. I mean, I think we all know that you don't, but...
It's you disappearing into and out of frame doing bad karate while we just keep walking like people.
Yeah, just arching my eyebrows all over the place.
Yeah. That Clone High bit where Gandhi is doing backflips and, like, running away and... George Washington Carver is just like walking.
That's correct. Yes.
Very casually.
Because I mean, we're here for the people as opposed to the stuff. And the moment you see all the good shit's gone, I'm like, ugh, this never going to be anything deep. you take it with you is the thing about money.
Hmm. My soldier instincts kind of kick in and I hang back a bit and I unsling my fork gun and kind of, I'm just on like, you know, patrol, like cool. Scanning. Yep.
I do have Brash's blaster in my hand as well. The one that I think I took from you
because you were waving it in my face. I threatened you with it. Yeah. Yes.
So as you guys make your way through the facility, Waka, you actually pick up some movement. And it seems as though there is like a Gronk power droid that's just bumping into a wall. The Gronks are just like, think like a garbage can with legs.
I like those guys. Yeah.
Yep. They were basically the only way to determine whether you were a light side or dark side character in the original Jedi Knight. So you just kill a bunch of Gronk droids and like, I guess you're evil now.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing though is he said that you picked up the movement. So I mean, based on you liking this droid, you very well may be carrying it now.
So like, do I I'll see it or is it like movement. In my scanner? I like detect
your scanner
like a map
detects
and a beep.
Yeah, detects like. If we were using our Witcher senses, like the echo circle from just kind of
and we just we hear from that like Gronk.
Yeah, you kind of hear like Gronk, Gronk, Gronk.
Are any of the hackers named Gronk? Because someone's looking for them. Someone's looking for them.
Hi, everyone. This is Laura here. I'm not totally sure what to say because Ryan is making me do this because I'm sitting here and we're about to record. But if you want to help to join in and possibly mess me up, you can throw some fun into the mix at
patreon.com/dumdumdice
and join our community, have a say in what happens in the show, and a bunch of other stuff. So come check it out and make my life better or worse. Who knows?
So I like find the Gronk.
Sure. So it looks to be about the same vintage as everything else in this place, but you can see that it's kind of been recently, like the area around its, I guess like the activation port and everything else has kind of been recently dusted. You can see that someone clearly fired this thing up. The Gronks were kind of like essentially walking batteries, so you can kind of see that the ports you would use to charge things have been recently used. That said, the droid does look in like not great shape, hence the bumping into a wall.
Well, hello, friend. Now, it seems like you've been having conversations with maybe some people.
And I lean down to try to bathe the droid in a little bit of my pheromones just because it's instinct. I can't not.
Gronk.
We all deserve something better, so maybe you could help us find the people who took such advantage of your ports, and we could get you out of here.
Gronk. The droid just keeps bumping into the wall.
Hang on, let me try something. And I'll get down to, like, his level. Its level, you know? I'll get down and I'll, like, look it right in where I think its eyes might be.
The background is just, like, shrugging, hating it for me.
And I'll say, Gronk.
And the droid stops.
And I'll say, Gronk.
The droid kind of like shuffles two steps back and tilts slightly as though in surprise.
Gronk.
Gronk.
We're getting somewhere, guys. Hang on.
And then the droid starts walking and just starts bumping into you.
Hey, what? Quit. Stop. Woody.
Gronk.
Gronk, stop it. What? Would you? And I'm like backing away, so he's like advancing on me.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the only time in my life I've ever been offended, guys, that I was not the first sexual choice in a trio. All right, so are there any paths in the dirt? Like, I just want to look around and see if we can figure out where the Gronk may have come from.
So it looks like the Gronk, like these things are, again, they're just like giant batteries on legs. So it's a pretty heavy thing. Likely kind of from observing the ground, you can see where it was likely just kind of left previously. It seems to have kind of walked a few meters from that spot and then started walking to the wall. Your guess would be that whoever activated it likely came to it, powered it up, and then left. That said, now they're kind of looking for footsteps and that sort of thing. You can see a bit, but someone has clearly taken some effort to obscure.
No, I have a question. So yes. My helmet can plug into the weapons stuff in our ship.
Yep.
Could I attach my helmet to the robot then maybe try to like
Gronk it up?
See, yep. Like on my Iron Man screen, see if there's like info, like when it's booted up.
Yeah, so you kind of like pull off a cable as the Gronk droid continues to bump into Vic. You kind of walk along behind it.
Yeah, and I plug it in and I'll take my helmet off because I think I can, like, my visor can maybe turn into, like, a little, like...
projector?
Like projector. And
sure.
So I'll plug it in, and I'll kind of, like, turn on my projector and point it at a wall to see what comes up.
And it's still in, like, shitty Star Wars technology, so it's all, like, weird and blue.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking at you very surprised. What do you look like? I've never seen you with your helmet off.
I'm scruffy, and I got a big metal plate on my forehead.
I shriek.
What?
Did you think he was a droid?
What is your hair like? Like, can you just give us a little bit more?
Like, slicked back. Here, I made a drawing. And I'll describe it. So it's like, slicked back, long, kind of like hair.
You're a character from Scary Stories You Tell in the Dark.
Yeah. Like, stubble.
So you're Ray Winstone with a plate in your forehead.
Yeah, kind of like like I kind of want to look like Punisher-y. Like I've seen
Warzone Punisher.
Yeah, like I've taken a lot of hits. Like maybe I've got like, you know, a bit of like a broken nose, like cauliflower ears kind of thing. Like if you had to
pick a Hollywood celebrity or a fighter, who would you pick?
Oh geez, I'm blanking on his name. The most recent guy to play the Punisher.
John Bernthal?
Yeah, on like on the Netflix thing.
All right, okay. So John Bernthal with the stubble and a metal plate in his forehead. Yeah,
longer hair.
On a real bad day. Like John Bernthal, he had...
John Bernthal playing a meth addict with a plate in his head.
Yeah, with like and it's like screwed in. There's like screw marks in my head.
It's like a Judge Dredd character you start hearing in Star Wars. Yeah.
And to be clear, you haven't adorned it with anything. It's literally just like...
It's whatever the hospital did.
Okay,
I haven't touched it. Yeah, correct. They're just like boink.
Yeah,
like,
so it is very like just pure like chrome or whatever, just a really like shiny metal piece.
You know, Waka, every new thing I learn about you explains a lot.
Thanks, bud.
All right, let's watch this.
So playing back the sort of footage of the Gronk droid, you can see someone kind of dressed... essentially, you can see footage of someone who seems to be wearing some kind of stealth suit. So you can see them when they move, but when they don't, it's just kind of almost a shimmering reflection of sort of like it's that classic if the technology were a bit better Predator style thing. So just like when the figure isn't moving, it's just... there's a little distortion, but you can kind of see through. But the minute they start to move, it's like that weird broken mirror thing.
Seeing the tape, I just speak. So you've snuck around, but it looks like we've caught you. And I turn around and I draw my pistol and I just aim it where I assume a person is waiting for us.
You see nothing.
Imagine if it had worked, though.
And then I just tuck the pistol away.
Like smash cut to the invisible guy standing 1 foot to the left of that.
Being
like,
sweat dripping.
Jeez, they didn't train me for this at all. So the figure seems to come up and kind of take off what looks like sort of a heavy backpack. You can see the stealth suit drop off when they like take their stuff off. They seem to pull some portable battery packs out and sort of plug them into the Gronk. You hear the figure's voice just kind of say, pardon me, sir or ma'am or however you choose to identify droid. I'm going to need your ports, and then starts plugging stuff into the ports. And the video footage kind of like you speed ahead, and it's the classic like guy moving in fast motion as... things plugged. He's wearing a mask, but you can see kind of like a series of bumps around the crown of his head. But think like kind of classic ninja garb, so you're just kind of seeing the eyes. He looks over his shoulder in kind of panic at one point, rips all the things out, throws them in the pack, and then disappears. And a few minutes later, a series of Black Sun thugs kind of come through with like the rifles up, the sort of classic like breach and clear thing, but by that point he is gone.
Is there any evidence in the environment of a group of Black Sun thugs moving through?
There seem to be. If so, they didn't really touch much. Looking around again, the ground has been disturbed in various places. It's just there's no clear, like, I guess what I'm trying to get at is there isn't like a clear trench of walking. Like sure, no one's worn a path.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, my blaster's in hand now. This has become a much more dangerous game. And I step forward and see if there's a button I could push or something to try to manipulate what we're seeing. Because I want to know if there's a timestamp. I want to know exactly when this took place.
I think you can safely find that. This seems like it happened about an hour ago.
Oh.
Well, looks like we need to be a little sneakier, a little meaner, and we probably shouldn't do so much yelling.
And I just like swoop my top knot around.
Gronk.
Yeah, and I get like one line of moonlight that crosses across both eyes, and I say, it's time to save ourselves, an invisible being.
I like to imagine that moonlight is actually you just edging your face into the projection light.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally fine with that, yeah.
Okay, wicked. So how would you like to try and track this invisible figure? You've got, some disturbed spots in the ground. You're basically still in sort of the reception greeting hall, so you could poke around a bit and see where things are. Now that you've seen the battery packs, it's clear that something is running somewhere in this building, but you're not sure what.
Well, does the lobby have any kind of feng shui of like
is there like a map or a place to go
kind of thing, yeah, to a certain place? Or?
So you can go and find a map of the facility. It seems that the mine itself is sort of on the bottom floor, so the basement, for lack of a better term, is the kind of mining entrance. From there, you can see that the mine kind of spreads out in a variety of different directions, almost kind of running like veins through the asteroid. There does seem to be secondary access to the mine from within the bubble. You can kind of see roughly, you know, here's the facility, here's the emergency exits. In terms of the building itself, kind of one floor up is the admin level. So that's where a lot of the offices are. The CEO's office would be up there, that sort of thing. One floor down is like the rec facility. So the mess hall, bunks, that sort of thing for workers to stay. There would be kind of, for lack of a better term, an engine room, sort of like a generator room, I guess would be it, that powers the facility. And then there's, you know, basically all the things you would expect to find. There's like a tool room, equipment room, a laundry, that sort of thing.
Is there like a lunch room?
Yeah. Yeah. There's like a mess hall.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It's got like a cafeteria.
So let's head to the mine, right? The hacker said they were in the mine.
Yeah, true. We might be able to get a map of the mine, though. We don't want to get lost underground.
Is there something I can download? Can I download a map so I can have it in my
Not from the Gronk droid. All the computers seem to be missing from this floor, but...
Maybe if we go to the CEO's office. You know what they say about people that rich? They're not risking their life for a computer.
They do say that.
I've heard that saying.
Yes, I also know phrases.
I think it's pretty well known.
Sayings, and I'm like staring at Brash.
And I just like spin the gun, an elaborate like thing, like throwing it between hands, tuck it away, and say, "Perfect."
And I take up Brash's gun and drop it immediately. I'm like, "Shit!" And I pick it up and I'm like, "Your gun's weird," and I walk off.
I follow him now, realizing if I could do this again, I could probably pick it up before he gets it.
Amazing.
I unplug myself from the droid and put my helmet back on. And then I kind of pick him up and I'm carrying the droid under one arm.
The droid is huge.
He's a big boy.
Oh. Yeah. Then I kind of shift him in the direction where we want to walk and hope that he follows us.
Okay. He starts to shuffle very slowly after you guys.
Yeah,
okay,
he's got to hump Vic some more.
Gronk. just the gronkiest of all droids.
Mm-hmm.
Wicked. So you make your way kind of to there are lifts, like elevators, but they all seem to be powered down. There's sort of an emergency staircase along the side, though, so you make your way into that. And this is where you find your first body. So there is a Trandoshan, who are the big reptilian motherfuckers. He appears to have been sort of shot, double tapped in the back, and then one in the head. So he's kind of in a pile at the base of the stairs.
How fresh does he look?
Pretty fresh.
Within the last hour, somebody Nabooed this guy.
Hold me like you did on Naboo.
Oh. Yeah. That world's a hellhole. All right.
So I want to search the guy to see if he's got any weapons or credits or identification, anything.
With a quick search, you can find, I'll say, 10 credits that are just kind of accidentally amongst his things, in the same way you can find, like, pocket change.
Right in my pocket now. Thank you.
He's wearing a weapons belt that's clearly been looted. There's nothing on it, but you could see it would have held, like, a bracer of grenades. He's definitely got Black Sun tattoos, which... Brash, you would recognize because you kind of have criminal contacts. I don't think you've ever worked with the Black Sun, but you know.
I know of them. Of like, them, you know the certainly. Symbols. It's like knowing a Hell's Angels.
Yeah, exactly. When we spot it. So, yeah, it looks like he was caught off guard, obviously due to the nature of the wounds. That said, as you kind of look around, you can see some blaster scoring on the walls, and it looks like there was a firefight here. Quoteth Willem Dafoe, "There was a gunfight!"
Yeah, but I've already said no yelling, so we all behave.
Yep.
Well, looks like other people have chosen a similar path. Let's keep it quiet.
How's Gronk handling these stairs?
Gronk has reached the bottom of the stairs and is just bumping against the bottom step.
Oh, wow. Better than I thought it would.
No. Is there a way we can encourage him up the stairs, or?
You could tip him over and try drag him up the stairs.
Ooh, okay, so then I... That's a good idea. So
gesture towards Vic to, like, get his gun up.
So I...
try to be quiet.
You said he had a belt that was ransacked, right?
Yeah.
So I take off the guy's belt, and I tie it around Gronk, and then I take off the guy's pants, and I kind of make it into, like, a rope, and then I tie it to the belt, and I kind of...
God, I, like, reach down and pull the guy's shirt over his genitals, like, I'm not cool with this.
His reptilian genitals, yeah.
So I kind of... And then I tie it around me, and I walk up the stairs, and I'm dragging the Gronk up the stairs with me.
So we're getting, like, a clang every time.
Yeah, it's like a metallic diaper full of a Gronk, but just banging off the steps.
I want the Gronk to come with me. I have plans for the Gronk.
All right, so, Adam, I'm going to need an athletics check from you, please.
We may as well have a funeral for the droid right now.
So we'll make this 3 purple because this is tremendously inconvenient.
And I'm going to say abstractly, you cannot use fate. I'm banning it from hauling the droid up the fucking stairs.
All right. I have 1 athletic, so that's 1 yellow.
1 yellow. Yep.
Okay.
And then what is your brawn?
My brawn
it's up
is
top.
A 2.
2. So then you'll get 1 green.
Oh, okay.
That's right, because it's the sum. That's
yep.
Right. Okay.
I'm going to say... I'm going to give you...
He's going to get a boost for his pants diaper?
No, I'm going to give you a setback for your pants diaper because those materials aren't
strong. It would have been easier to just shove the droid.
Yeah, 100%.
Can I use a destiny point? Because I'm really...
You got real big plans?
I'm really excited.
Right. We're flipping it. So, sorry, Brash.
Why do I even talk?
So
upgrade your other green to a yellow.
Okay, yeah. And looking at it, I'm a bit of a pants... Like, I know good pants... When I see pants. I'm like, these pants can really...
You're a pantsman?
Well, they're like war pants, right? They're not just going to fall apart.
I mean,
like,
they're not heist pants like Vic is wearing. They're war pants.
These are like Black Sun, like heavy-duty pants.
War pants.
Brash is so fucking mad, he's turned red. and at this point, he's going ahead. Like, he just shoves you gently aside and just goes up the stairs.
You're basically a character from Inside Out.
Yeah. Fucking bullshit.
Our target's going away, and I'm just busy, like, tying.
Gronk.
Don't worry, buddy. I got it.
Gronk.
All right. Let's see.
He rolled pretty fucking good.
Okay. So I got... Sorry, let me do some math. I got 1 failure, 1...
You have 2 successes total.
2 successes. So I did it.
Yeah.
So I did it.
Yeah, you did. You did. So to the sounds like... And like just like every time it happens, just gronk, gronk, gronk. You manage to drag Gronk up the stairs. Sweet. Vic, are you Brash has gone ahead. Are you following?
No, I'm watching this. I gotta see this.
Yeah, all right. So... Adam, what do you think the inspirational song playing in Waka Waka Fonzie's head is as he's dragging this Gronk droid up the stairs?
It's a song I made up, and it's called Gronk and Me. And it's like, me and my Gronk, we're gronking around, we're gronking up here, and we're gronking uptown. And I'm kind of, I'm singing that as I'm like chugging.
So is Waka singing this?
I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of, it's in my head. It's in my head, but I'm kind of humming it.
So Waka is hearing the voice of Adam McNamara singing this song.
Yeah, me and my Gronk. But I'm just like, like, I'm just humming it, but it's like really big in my head.
Now, in canon, you are the voice of your character's brain. Like, it's just like your weird conscience is just you.
So when he thinks, it's like, hey, maybe you should do this. Like, try this out.
Amazing.
Adam McNamara, the voice of a TBI.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. All right. So you get to the top of the stairs, you write Gronk, and then you just like tie the war pants.
I just leave
around him.
I leave him on top.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, like a coiled rope on top of a filing cabinet.
War pants, TM.
Honestly, we should launch it. I'd buy it.
Yeah, and those pants are still in really good condition. Like, they weren't even phased.
I gave you so many dice to fuck it up, and they just, those war pants are just
quality
too good.
Quality.
Oh, man. Now I wish I had war pants. all right, well, that was good use of a destiny point. Brash, when you, obviously you got up there first, and it just nails on a chalkboard hearing this slamming mess. Do you think you would have closed the door when you reached these?
100% yes. I'm inside and I close the door. I have no interest.
Okay. So you're the sort of admin floor, is where all the offices are. I think, for our purposes, think like those kind of, waist high walls and then glass from there up. Kind of like all the levels in Goldeneye.
Yep, that makes sense.
Yep. There is clearly the sort of the CEO's office at the very far end. Up till there, you can see there are a couple of kind of essentially open office pens, as well as some individual meeting rooms and that sort of thing. You can see a small kitchenette, some bathrooms. But again, this is just you standing kind of at one end of sort of a wide-ish hall that just leads to stuff on left, the left or the right.
So I reach down and I tighten like three straps, and it goes from awkward EVA suit, but somehow I knew just how to pull it. So now I look like I'm wearing one of those like Mission Impossible Tom Cruise outfits that's fitted. It's ribbed. Like, I look good. And then a blaster in hand, I'm just going to like try to like creep to where I know the CEO's office is. It's a weird thing because there's a part of Brash that's like almost more comfortable in a corporate environment because that's everything he knew. But then he has to like shake that shit off because he fucking hates it. And that's not what he does. And then he probably just like messes up some papers on a desk, and then he like goes back to looking cool.
Sure. Can you roll me a stealth check, please? So that is stealth plus agility. And I'll give you one purple.
Great. I need, no, actually, just two of the green and a purple.
Dos green.
All right.
I'll give you one boost dice for your improvised Tom Cruise outfit. I figure if I if I have to give Adam disadvantage for the war pants, then I have to give you advantage for your like.
Don't worry, you can give me all the dice in the world. And somehow, I'll still be the only incompetent member of the team. Will be me. Yeah. All right, that is one success and three boost or three advantage.
Three advantage. Wow. Okay. So, and one success.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. So. Yeah, you stealth your way along. As you go, you can see some broken glass. As you knock the papers off, you can see there seems to have been a gunfight up here. But there doesn't seem to be a concentrated zone where this happened. It's just like there seems to be some sort of scattered shooting that went on. You don't see any other bodies kind of from the central hallway. You notice more broken glass in kind of one of the open office pens to the left. So you could explore that if you want, or you could continue on to the office. Because you rolled well, you can choose which one you want.
I'm going to continue on to the office. My brain looks at it and goes, because, I mean, Brash, he's watched a lot of Holovitz. It's all you do when you're what are you going to do during your shift? You're not going to do the work your parents sent you. It was like a VP of a corporation. Instead, you watch Holovitz about how cool things are. And he's seen one called Predator. And he looks around and he goes, a bunch of shots fired at an invisible man or alien or whoever. Probably a man. They're assholes. He's like, they fired in different directions and then fled off over there. But I'm here to get a map. And then I just says this very quietly to himself, like a dramatic monologue that looks so meaningful. And then he stalks sneakily, but it works. It's not that fucking Vic bullshit. Towards the CEO's office.
Cool. So you're most of the way there when the door you came through opens again, and Fonzie and Vic step out into the hallway with the Gronk droid. What do you think you guys are doing?
I see the kitchen right away, and so I head for the kitchen.
Okay. And Vic?
I'll catch up to Brash.
Can you roll me a stealth check, or are you just walking up to him?
I'm just going
to
walk up to him.
You could be stealth if you want to sneak up on him.
And the Gronk droid just starts, like, slowly walking behind Fonzie.
I give up on my act, and I turn a darker shade of red. Like, I've been drifting back to green, and it's
crimson.
Straight back to red.
Wicked. So you reach the CEO's door. It's sort of a a massive, you're surprised to see wooden door, so it was clearly imported specifically for this purpose, that says, questions are always welcome. And then in brackets under it, it says, complaints are not. and there's a smiley, like a classic yellow smiley face, but it's Star Wars, so I guess that's like, I don't know, a stop sign shape, and it's blue. Star Wars.
I'll tell you, based on the joke, whoever had this job was a third child.
You sort of like ease the door open. You can tell, you see it's actually open a crack. As you do so, you sort of ease the door open and you see the man from the video, so dressed in the dark garb, in the middle of pouring a scotch. And turns around like, oh shit! Turns invisible and opens fire.
This episode of Dumb Scum and Villainy features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Adam McNamara at AdamMcNamara13 on Twitter, and our fantastic game master, Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's art is by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme song is In Orbit by Chronox, and our ad music is No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Now get out of my shop. I'm a Toydarian. Your Jedi mind tricks do not work on me.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, Jason Denson, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Joshua White, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.